Week 4 highlights. 24 hours later, and Carolina have still not tackled Julio Jones. Meanwhile, in Washington, Cleveland show more fight as Washington win despite a defense which is just awful. Dallas power forward to 3-1, and Pittsburgh rebound after a fabulous win at Kansas City. And who knows, are Jacksonville back? Let's find out on the next Fan Up Power Ranking. Justin, let's do this.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hey, Justin. Week 4. How are you feeling? Are you coping a quarter of the season in?
I'm doing better than coping, Neil. My team came up awesome yesterday, so I'm feeling great.
Yeah, you're supposed to ask me the same thing. And if you did, I would tell you that coping is just about where I am at the moment. I'm sitting on a very, very warm seat. I think Washington season is hanging by a thread, Justin.
So let's I'm sure that'll be reflected in your power rankings.
Absolutely. Oh, I love Washington. They're not going down, I tell you that much. Let's get straight into it because I think there's quite a lot of change this week. We are at that time of the season where you see 4 games now of most of these teams and you're thinking to yourself, well, we've seen the good, we've seen the bad for Washington, we've seen lots of ugly, but it's that bit in the middle and you think, yeah, maybe they're not as good as that, they're not as bad as that. They're somewhere in the middle. And I think we're getting to that point where we can see that. I like that in the season. Straight into number 32, and we're just going to look really at the bottom 10 today. Then we're going to look at the top 10, and sandwiched in between, and a very, very thin layer in between, we'll have a look at those pretenders in the middle 12. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good, Neil. Let's go.
Okay. Number 32, we've got the Tennessee Titans. They've dropped 5 places. And I've written in my notes, Justin, I've written blah, vanilla, although I don't really know how it's spelled, but there we go. And I look at Tennessee and I think there's a coaching problem there, surely. Mariota is disappearing rapidly.
Yeah, this is an incredibly disappointing team to me. I thought they were at least a middle of the road team, but they can't do anything right lately, and it seems to be getting worse, not better. So I can certainly see having them way, way down in the rankings.
Number 31, we've got the Indianapolis Colts. I had the misfortune of watching quite a bit of the game of the weekend against Jacksonville, and it was ugly, Justin. It was very ugly. And you look at Indianapolis, it's Andrew Luck, what's left of him, and what else? Not much.
That defense is horrific. I mean, it is a tragedy that they even called out a professional football team on that side of the ball. Certainly felt bad for you. This game was sadly incredibly convenient for you to watch given your local time, so you really had no choice. I was able to sleep through the beginning of it.
I would imagine a lot of people in America were choking over their breakfast cereal watching that game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their number 30, they've dropped 4 places. And I saw quite a bit of this game last night. Awful defense and Winston just getting too much pressure there. It's almost a little bit of a mirror image of the Indianapolis Colts. And you do wonder what's going to happen to Winston if he keeps getting smacked about like he did last night.
I agree. These two teams seem to be on similar trajectories. Injuries are starting to pile up for them. This defense is so bad. They got into a shootout with the Rams last week. I mean, it's terrible. It is not a good situation there.
I would say in general, Justin, when we're looking back at this in week 15, week 16, we're going to see a familiar sight, aren't we? We're going to see 32 teams, and we'll be looking at not only are these power rankings, these are depth rankings. In terms of the depth you have talent-wise on your roster. The good rosters will be able to handle injuries and still power through. The poor rosters who have little depth in terms of talent, they're going to be sliding further and further down here. And I can see this with Tampa Bay and Indianapolis. You know, that initial push with all their fit players, that's kind of wearing off already in week 4 and they're starting to slide.
Yeah, you're totally right. Everybody is going to lose players over the course of the season. Some of the teams have people behind who can step up, and we'll get to them near the top. There, many of these teams, especially here at the bottom, You know, if they lose that one key player, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, 29, Cleveland. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, 0-4, and you've lifted them 3 places. Well, I'll tell you why, Justin. I lifted them 3 places because I saw the entire game against Washington. I saw them the previous week, and I see a team who has more fight than the team is below them, and possibly more fight than teams above them. But they're a young team, and they can finish games. They probably could easily have won the game last night against Washington, but yeah, they struggled in the fourth quarter. But I can see, I mean, the quarterback, Kessler, he doesn't look too bad. Pryor looks fantastic, and they've got a running game, which many teams would be very envious of.
Yeah, you know, traditionally, if a lower team takes on an absolute very, very top-tier team and they manage to hang it tight, it's not unusual to move them up a spot or two. You move them up 3 spots for losing to Washington, though. I don't know about that, Neil. I think perhaps you're maybe overestimating how quality a competition it is to narrowly lose to Washington.
I think the word you're struggling to find there, Justin, is superpower. I think you're right. I would have moved them up maybe 1 spot, but I thought to myself, well, look, I'm moving them up 1 spot. I'm actually moving them up 3 spots because I'm moving other teams down below them. That's maybe the difference. Because you're right, they shouldn't probably go up 3 spots. But they're going up 3 spots because Tampa Bay and Indianapolis and Tennessee, oh, God, they are awful. They're worse. They're not showing the fight.
So if the Indianapolis Colts and the Cleveland Browns were hosting a game next Sunday in Aberdeenshire, who are you taking to that matchup?
Oh, Cleveland. Cleveland. After what I saw this weekend from both teams, Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland.
There we go. Send your hate mail to Neil.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mind. It'll make up for all the depressing tweets I get about Washington. right, we've got the Chicago Bears at number 28. And I listened very carefully to Chicago Tom on the podcast from last night, which was excellent, not to be missed. And you can find that on iTunes. I really thought his comparison between Hoyer and Cutler was really great. And I really liked the fact that they're going with Hoyer there. I think they'll do the same when Cutler gets back. I hope so, because I think they look better. They look a more consistent and more resilient team and not prone to the massive momentum-turning turnover that Cutler can provide. Tough division win over Detroit, quite good. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't summarize them any better than Tom did. I mean, honestly, if there were a Superfans power rankings, he would be kind of the opposite position of Chicago. He would be right near the top. A lot of the players that they were counting on are just bad. They're just not good this year. And so as a result, you know, even if they're getting hurt or nicked up, they may not play when they come back. So this is a team that I don't see any upside to whatsoever.
Yeah, they may well slip later on in the power rankings. I've got Jacksonville at number 27, up 4 spots. That London game, I thought the offense started to show a few flashes. They got Robinson in the game. One thing I just don't understand, Justin, maybe you can help me out. Miles Jack, talked by many as one of the greatest inside linebackers to come out of college in recent years. I know he had the knee injury. The guy has had 16 snaps on defense in that Jacksonville defense. I mean, how bad is he, or how bad is the coaching there?
This is one where I'd love to be a fly on the wall, like the meeting in the trainer's room. I mean, he did play a little bit, and he actually looked pretty okay when he was out there, but it was a devastating knee injury, so I don't know if they're really, really trying to limit his snap count. Sometimes with things like that, there's a like swelling you have to manage, so you have to keep on top of that. There's something going on there. That is a situation to watch and be wary of.
Yeah, agreed. Number 26, we've got the San Francisco 49ers. Very disappointing last night at home in a game that probably, you know, should have contended in that game a little bit more. There was a horrendous call, an unsportsmanlike conduct or roughing the passer call, one of these 15-yarders for, I think it was Jaquiski Tart, who he sounds like something that should be on the hostess snacks menu, but he had a 15-yard penalty. It was a shocker, and it was a a momentum-turning moment because that gave Dallas a first down. They went on, scored a touchdown, and pretty much took the game from there. Very hard on San Francisco. But I wonder, is it soon Kaepernick time with Bowman's injury as well on top of that?
I don't know. I think that's probably a no. With Kaepernick, they can release him after the season with no penalties whatsoever financially, unless he gets injured, in which case the remainder of his contract, which is still several more years, becomes fully guaranteed. So I'm willing to bet that, you know, they are probably have spotters watching him. They probably wrap him up in bubble wrap and tape him to the bottom of the bus on drives. Like, I don't think they want anything happening to him just so that they can be rid of him.
Bit similar to the RG3 situation in Washington a year or two back.
The exact same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Justin, number 25, we've got the Miami Dolphins. And oh my goodness, the Miami Dolphins are terrible. They're lucky to be staying where they are because they could have slipped all the way down to number 32. In fact, they could be the first contender for number 33. just awful. Their uniform was terrible in the color rush game, but it wasn't as bad as their play.
Ryan Tannehill is not looking good. He, you know, this Adam Gase offense, we're still early on it, but so far the early returns are not excellent. They also ran into a very, very good team, though. So I think, yes, Miami is definitely not a very good team, but to me, this is almost more about the Bengals, you know, especially early in the regular season. They're so strong on defense, so strong on offense. I just didn't see any scenario where the Dolphins were going to hang in this one, and that kind of proved to be true.
Yep. Breaking news there, Justin. Ryan Tannehill was not very good.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, he looked terrible. Anyway, up at number 24, we've got the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford returning to bad Matthew Stafford at the weekend there. And is the Jim Bob Cooter effect wearing off?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they went up against an excellent defense in the LA Rams. Obviously, that has an impact. For the first several games of the season, they played pretty well offensively, so I think they're going to be fine there. This is one of those teams, though, that's really tough for me to peg. I think that deep at their core, they're one of those mid-tier teams, but they've definitely earned a spot here in the lower third with their performance this weekend.
Yeah, it was really poor. You do wonder if this is a team that's going to start really sliding once they start getting a few more injuries. I'm not sure. Did Ziggy Ansah play this weekend? He's a big loss. I mean, when you play a Chicago Bears offensive line that scored so much, you need a guy like Ziggy Ansah, don't you, to get in about them and make a few plays. But, well, we'll see. The other thing with Detroit is you just don't know who's actually there playing for them. Who's going to make a difference? Who's going to stand up and make some plays when they need them? I just don't see it. Just don't see it. Now, it looks like Ziggy Ansah missed the game, so you need that pass rush, don't you, when you're playing a team in the same sort of ballpark as you, rankings-wise, and they didn't have that push. Anyway, up to number 23, and we have the New York Jets. And you have to say hats off to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who managed to cut his interception tally in half this week and only had the three picks instead of the six from the previous week.
Yeah, the New York Jets ran up against one of, I think, in my biased opinion, one of the top teams in the league. So I'm surprised you didn't move them up eight more spots.
Well, when you say one of the top teams in the league, you do realize it was Seattle they were playing, yeah.
Yes, I do. Yeah, so Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, his interception total this week is deceiving because several of those were not even close to his fault, hitting his receivers in the hands in stride. It looks bad on the stat sheet because he had 9 over 2 weeks, which, as I understand, is bad. But this is a team that, again, you know, they've got all the trappings of a mid-tier team. You know, they've got some weapons on offense. They've got, some good pieces on defense, but huge weaknesses all over the place. So I think by the time the year is said and done, they're probably going to be in that like 12 to 18 range, but you can't get beat that bad and not drop unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to say, Justin, I feel a bit in awe of you because that's two pieces of top breaking news there. When you notice here in this game that interceptions are not usually very good.
That's the kind of analysis I bring to the table.
It's blowing me out of the water, I tell you. Right, so we've got New York Jets there. I do wonder with the New York Jets how long it will be before we see Hackenberg.
Yeah, I think for Ryan Fitzpatrick, these next two games are critical. If these if he throws a bunch of picks these next two games, the future is now.
Absolutely. Okay, Justin, we've reached the pretenders zone, if you like, in their power rankings from number 22 to number 11. I'll just quickly run through the teams, and then we'll go back and look at one or two who have made some major either falls or rises. So, 22 to 11. San Diego, New Orleans, Buffalo, Arizona, Washington, LA Rams, Houston, the Giants, Carolina, Baltimore, Dallas, and dropping into the second tier there, the Cincinnati Bengals. I would like you to tell me a little bit about what on earth is happening to Carolina, who find themselves at number 14, dropping five spots, and Arizona, dropping all the way down to number 19 in the power rankings, a drop of eight spots from last week.
Well, the good news here is that what I'm about to say applies exactly to both of them, so we can save some time that way and be efficient. Here what you have is a team that was incredibly strong last year, one of the absolute best in the league, with a quarterback that was, if not the MVP, the next best thing to the MVP. And then they had an incredibly tough time at the end of their season, getting absolutely beaten badly. And so going into this year, like we discussed last week, I thought that this would be a shell-shocked team, that it was going to be very difficult for them mentally to kind of keep up where they're at and maintain that level of play. And that's proven to be the case. You know, very, very poor efforts through these first couple of games. Then you have this week taking on a division foe, which is always going to be harder than any other game, and really just getting beaten. You know, maybe the score was a little closer than the game would have indicated, but it was an absolute knockout, drag-out butt-whooping, culminating in the starting quarterback getting a concussion. As a result, this, or should I say these, teams dropped several spots in the power rankings, and maybe if they can figure their stuff out, they can get back in the top area. But right now, there's not that many teams in the league who I would have less confidence in.
I look at Arizona, and you remember them from last year. They were a defense that was swarming all over the field all the time. Tyrann Mathieu was leading that charge. He doesn't look back to his best yet. They're getting nothing from the first round draft choice. Okay, Chandler Jones is getting the odd sack, but it's pretty rough. I mean, they seem to be doing not too badly in terms of rushing the ball. Yes, Johnson & Johnson, who make talcum powder over here, if you're interested, Justin. But they've got Carson Palmer there. Is he going to be playing next week, or are we going to see dancing Drew Stanton? It just doesn't look good for them at all. And as for Carolina, I think we talked about it in the pod on Thursday. Again, a pod not to be missed. Jonathan Stewart is missing for Carolina, and that is a huge, huge blow. And I have to say, as a Washington fan, Carolina appeared to be missing an all-pro cornerback.
Yeah, definitely looked like Carolina could use maybe one more good person in coverage in this past game. Because, man, did they got destroyed by basically two people, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. They were unstoppable. There's nothing they could do. Really could have used Josh Norman. And likewise, the secondary, which has been a big strength for Arizona, has been disappointing this year. I don't know if it's the injury to Mathieu. I know that Patrick Peterson's played okay, but not at a absolute top corner level. You know, he's got a couple of interceptions, but there's been some pretty good completions on him as well. And you're totally right about Jonathan Stewart. And the problem with that is that Jonathan Stewart gets injured every year. He's a terrific, talented player. He's a local guy. I remember watching him in high school. I think he's like a year younger than I am. But, you know, at the NFL level, his body does not hold up for 16 games. That's why they kept two top running backs in Carolina for so long, was to try and split that workload. They can't honestly count on having him all year. So this is a team that they really need to figure their stuff out. I mean, Cam Newton's not playing good. You know, everybody thought that just by getting like Kelvin Benjamin and adding that, you would take this like top team and put them absolutely over the top and they would be invincible. And I've been pumping the brakes all offseason saying that was not going to be the case. And that's not the case. That's simply not how football works. And so, you know, this is a team that, you know, I think for some of these players that they will have played their absolute best career year last year. That may or may not be the case with Cam Newton. As far as Arizona goes, yeah, David Johnson is still terrific, but that pass rush that we thought was going to be so good when they added Chandler Jones has just been average. That secondary has been okay, which means the defense on the whole is just fine. It's middle of the tier. It's what drops you in at number 19 on the power rankings.
Yep, no, absolutely spot on. And I think for Carolina, there's one stat you can look at and say, you've got a team that's got Benjamin, you've got Devin Funchess, and you have, of course, the outstanding tight end Greg Olsen. And who's your leading receiver against Atlanta? Fozzy Whitaker. Things are not going to work out well when that happens. Moving on, we'll look at what? Two more teams here in this middle section, just briefly. Baltimore up six places. I was not a Baltimore believer until this weekend, but I saw them play a pretty good top 10 ranked team, play them really hard right to the end. Bit of mismanagement, perhaps, coaching-wise, at the end of the game. But they're up six spots, 3-1. They're a solid 3-1. Good-looking team all round, without any real stars. And secondly, the Los Angeles Rams, who come all the way up to number 17, and clearly are the class of that division, Justin.
You're trying to make me mad. All right. Neil, you've been on enough shows with me to know that I was calling for a Baltimore resurgence all offseason. I thought last year was pretty much all injuries, and I think I was right, which I guess makes sense. I wouldn't say it if I didn't think I was right. But, Steve Smith, ageless wonder. I cannot believe how well he continues to play. He's such a terrific player. Joe Flacco is playing better. Obviously he's not out for the season with the knee injury, but even before that last year, he wasn't playing well. So this is a team that I thought was going to be maybe not a contender just because they have Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in their division, but we're a team that, had like playoff potential as a wild card. And so far I haven't seen anything to dissuade me of that. In terms of the Los Angeles Rams, they're ranking up there at number 17. That's fine for right now, but just know that it's fake. This is not real. They've played basically all division foes, and they played division foes really, really tough. They always have. That's always been a trademark of them in the Jeff Fisher regime. As soon as they start playing teams outside the division, they're going to be terrible. They're going to be awful. It's going to be really, really bad. Like, you take our, bottom third teams, like, if they play the Jets, Detroit, Miami, San Francisco, the Jacksonville, they're probably going to lose all those games. Like, this is a team that will still probably almost certainly go 7-9 at best. They just sort of happen to hit the sort of peak part of their schedule for their performance. This is as high as they're going to get.
Certainly, if anyone can drag a struggling team to the lofty heights of 7-9, it's Jeff Fisher. Okay, here we are, Justin, at the top 10. We're in rarefied air. I'm struggling for breath because the last time Washington was in the top 10, well, so were Duran, I think. Right, number 10, we have the Atlanta Falcons, who have to go up these six spots to number 10 because, well, quite frankly, their offense is really starting to purr. And old Matty Ice is no longer a Matty Ice pick. He's Matty Ice picking teams apart. And that was just a stunning, stunning performance the weekend against, albeit a flawed Carolina team, but hey, you've still got to put the points on the board. And I believe at the time of recording, which is 7:34 p.m. here in Scotland, I believe Julio Jones is still running.
Yeah, I've been saying that I don't know if Matt Ryan is good or bad, and that's been my issue with the Atlanta Falcons, is I just couldn't figure out if he was good or bad. I know now, he's good. All right, Matt Ryan, you're good again. That's awesome. So congratulations on that. And, their defense continues to play pretty well. They let up too many points late in the game and kind of garbage time to Derek Anderson, of all people. But they're doing some good stuff there. I still don't necessarily see them as a team that's really, really a top contender. Honestly, I would flip-flop them in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati would beat them in a neutral field game, that sort of thing. But this is a team that should be very happy with what they're doing right now.
I'm seeing we had Kyle Shanahan at Washington a couple of years, very innovative coordinator, and in his second year in Atlanta is starting to look pretty good, spreading the ball out to lots of players and getting a really good push with the running game. Looks terrific. The only thing with the Falcons is that last year, I believe they started 6-0, and then they faded down the stretch. And again, I'll go back to what we talked about at the start. Do they have the depth when the injuries really start to hit them? We'll see. But that's Matt Ryan back on top form. And up to number 9 is the Green Bay Packers. Now, they had a bye this week, but they've still gone up one spot, mainly down to the fall for Carolina and for Arizona. But Green Bay, do you think it's a bit early for a bye week? Who'd want a bye week in week four? I wouldn't want our team to have that.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy that the Seahawks had a bye week in week five. Week four, you're barely even warmed up. So that seems very disadvantageous to me because at the end of the season, if you're looking at making a playoff push, you're all beaten up, you're all tired. Everybody else gets a week vacation to recover. So that's a tough spot to be in. But, you know, they didn't do much this week, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on them. Although I think for them, winning the bye is Eddie Lacy not coming back up 30 pounds.
Yeah, let's see what he can do this week, Eddie Lacy. Certainly keeping a close eye on him. At number eight, Justin, we have the Oakland Raiders. And don't start shouting at me, Monty. The Oakland Raiders are staying at number eight, even though they won a really tough road game. I think number eight's about right for them. I like what I see from Oakland, but I kind of expected them to play a little bit better this weekend. I thought they were going to be a little bit lucky at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It doesn't feel like Oakland is 3-1 to me, and I think that's because games we thought that they were going to blow out win ended up being close. They lost one game that I think we thought they were going to win. So while they have a really, really good record, I don't know, it almost feels like it's been a disappointing start to the season. I think a lot of that is their defense hasn't been as good as we thought or we hoped. You know, like Greg, our Steelers superfan, has been saying all year, it might be early for them. So at least for this early quarter of the season, they really might be just about treading water until all the parts gel. You know, you have new players, new coaches, things like that. You know, this if there's a team here who can have everything click into place in the second half of the season and then become much, much stronger, it's probably the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I can see that, but I also see a squad that maybe is a year too early in terms of depth on the roster. Not sure they have that depth. Although it was good to see their first-round pick, Carl Joseph, play there on Sunday. But I still wait to see where Khalil Mack has gone. I wish he's disappeared, and I wish he would turn up in Washington, but that's not going to happen, I don't think, Justin. At number
Yeah, they need to start putting his face on the side of a milk carton.
Yeah. At number seven, Justin, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, who got a bit of a spanking there on the Sunday night game. Certainly Chiefs Nick's been quite quiet on our Slack group today. Probably still licking his wounds from what was a bit of a hammering from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I will be honest, this was one of the worst games I've ever seen. I mean, it was, you know, 22 points at the quarter. We're talking, you know, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown from Pittsburgh. Stupid mistakes and turnovers. I'm not sure if you watched this game, Neil, but like Pittsburgh, pretty much every time they kicked off, and they kicked off a lot, Nile Davis would receive the kickoff like 8 yards deep and run it out and get stopped at like the 10. And he did this like three times in a row. Like the rules say you automatically get to the 25. And for some reason, not only was he like thick-headed enough to like keep doing it, but the coaches like let him keep doing it. Like I would have yanked him after the second one. You know, this is the sort of game that honestly you just need to bury and move on. And I think if these teams play again, it could be a very, very good competition that Kansas City could win. But at least in this one, everything that could go right for Pittsburgh went right. Everything that could go wrong for Kansas City went wrong. But, you know, if these two teams play 10 times, this is the most lopsided Pittsburgh victory.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Pittsburgh actually managed to get some pressure on Smith constantly throughout the game, something they've struggled with quite a lot so far this season. I think Cam Hayward had a good day. Didn't he have two or three sacks in the end? He looks to be getting into gear. But yeah, you're right enough. If they play this game again, it's a different score. But Pittsburgh, after that terrible performance against Philadelphia, they put in this tremendous performance. And they're the next team on the power rankings, Justin. So we can have a little second or two here on Pittsburgh at number six. Do you think, which team really is the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is it the team that got thrashed by Philadelphia? Is it the team that this week thrashed Kansas City? And if they're in between, where are they? Are they a number six team for you, or should they be lower on the rankings?
Both. Neither. Yes. So, here's the thing about Pittsburgh is every single year under Mike Tomlin, there will be a game where they are inexplicably obliterated. And usually it's against some really lesser competition. And then there's games against really good competition where they look excellent. This is just a very Pittsburgh thing. I think you got them at the right spot. I think this is appropriate. But next year, they're going to lose to, like, Cleveland by two scores at some point. And then they're going to, you know, blow out the Patriots or something. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, they're a team who unleash hell in December, but quite often unleash a smell in September.
Perfect.
Okay, we're up to number... Did I say number six for for Pittsburgh. That's terrible, Justin. I've forgotten old Philadelphia, who stay there at number six. They're on a bye week this week. They stay there at number six, and I couldn't move them. I'll move them when they either win or lose. I think a lot of people last week saying Philadelphia are way too high, but come on, they deserve to be number six, and let's see if they can stay there. So that leaves us number five with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and up in number four, we're into the top four, Justin. Number four, the Minnesota Vikings, who play tonight against the Giants. I'm not sure what you said on the Thursday show in terms of a prediction. I've got the Vikings winning this game all night long. What do you say?
Yeah, I've got the Vikings winning. I think their defense is just so, so strong. And I think that they'll do enough on offense to put a couple of points on the board. Obviously, not moving them at all makes sense since they haven't played yet. But they're a very, very strong unit on one side of the ball and an okay unit on the other side of the ball. I think that this is as high as that they're going to go on this rankings, though.
Ooh. Do you think they're susceptible to a defeat because of the quarterback they have in place?
I think that you're not a top three NFL team if your quarterback is Sam Bradford.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think at some point he will have a complete meltdown, and that could be very costly for them. All right, into the top three, and here we go. Last week's number one, they've fallen to number three. New England Patriots shut out at home for the first time since, well, I think the first time ever, perhaps, and shut out by a pretty average Buffalo team that we have ranked down there at number 20. So what happened in New England? Did you see enough of Brissett to think that he's going to be any sort of future in New England?
No. I mean, you know, I picked Buffalo to win this game. I just think that given all the challenges that they've had with health and all that stuff, that the Patriots simply couldn't go 4-0. That's really what it came down to, and that proved to be the case. You're right, this is the first time New England was shut out at home since 1993, and I know that this probably hurt more for Bill Belichick because it's Rex Ryan on the other sideline, who I know he really, really doesn't like. It's fine. I think that, you know, with Tom Brady back, and he will be back next week, and this is one of the very, very best teams in the NFL. But I also think it is appropriate to drop a couple of spots if you get shut out at home by the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think if you said to them at the start of the season you'll go 3-1 over these first four games, I mean, everybody was saying that'd be pretty good going. So New England, they're happy, so we're all happy. In terms of number two in the power rankings, Justin, you'll be delighted to see that I have moved your Seattle Seahawks up. After I moved them up one spot after the show last week, I moved them up another spot this week to number two. Well, they looked back to their best last night.
This is where I need to ask you some questions, Neil. So that means that you have Denver number one. So where is Denver better than the Seahawks?
Where is Denver better than the Seahawks? Well, they're better than the Seahawks in Denver. I would say that give me their pass rush over Seattle, just because it's superb. Offensive line, just because neither offensive line is particularly outstanding. And I would say wide receivers, I would probably take the Denver wide receiver core over you guys. Although that's not to say I don't like Baldwin and Lockett and that, but I do like Denver's. I've always liked Demaryius Thomas, although he's not having the greatest of starts this season. So, yeah, just little bits like that. I think you guys have the, secondary. Oh, that's two very, very good secondaries. But, yeah, maybe you guys would edge the secondary ranking there, but not by much. It's very tight across the board, Justin. It's difficult to split the two teams. Well, I can't put Seattle at number one just now.
Yeah,
maybe because I'm so impressed with Denver as well. I think this is a team that everybody wrote off as, yeah, they'll fall back to the pack, and they haven't got any quarterback, and So Denver have impressed me a lot. Seattle, I expected them to be right up there.
Yeah, so, you know, I look at these two teams, and I will wear any bias I have on my sleeve, but I think the Seahawks have the better defense. I think the Seahawks have the better offense. I think that the advantage in quarterback is substantial. Also, I think the Seahawks have the better head coach and coaching staff and all this stuff. I will be honest, I don't see a ton of justification for why, you know, on a neutral game in a 10-game series, we would take Denver over Seattle.
Yeah. Okay, well, tell me how your offensive line stops the Denver outside pass rush?
You know, just look at this pass game. Now that Jermaine Ifedi is back, that offensive line has gotten back to where it is meant to be, which is middle of the league. And, you know, with Russell Wilson's mobility, the timing routes, you know, it's actually the interior pass rush that causes problems, really. The outside pass rush, Russell Wilson typically does a fine job just stepping up in the pocket and making plays and making throws. So it would be tough sledding against that defense for sure, because it's such a good unit. I have much more confidence in Russell Wilson scoring points against the Denver defense than I do Trevor Siemian, or if he's injured, whoever's next, Paxton Lynch scoring points against the Seahawks defense. But again, I'll wear my bias on my sleeve.
I think there's one thing we can agree on, Justin. And that is that the top three teams here, Denver, Seattle, New England, they are the top three teams, aren't they?
I agree. I think that you can draw a line right underneath New England, and there's a clear space of separation between those three and the next part of the top ten. Although I do think Pittsburgh is the team that's most likely to be able to move back up into that same group.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think we're looking at, surprisingly, if you think back to the start of the season, surprisingly looking at perhaps three of the top four teams being in AFC.
Huh. Yeah, as we look at the top ten, there's really not a ton of incredibly strong representation of the NFC.
No, I think at the start of the season, if you'd asked a lot of observers, they would say, well, Green Bay, Arizona, Carolina, so Seattle, of course. So, some interesting how at the moment it seems like the NFC teams are actually coming back to the pack. And really, apart from Seattle, there's no real standout team at the moment. Maybe Minnesota, but like you say, you can make a case for them falling away. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Justin, that's our top three: New England, Seattle, and Denver. And who knows? They've moved up every week, so maybe next week if Seattle. Who are Seattle playing this coming week?
Nobody. Got a week of vacation.
Well, there you go. It'll be another week where they don't lose, so who knows, they might move up. But before we go, Justin, I've got my extra point. I'm not sure if you have an extra point, but I have an extra point. And it's really just to take a minute and say, wow, how good was Julio Jones? And I don't know who the last 300-yard receiver in one game was, but gosh, it's probably been quite a while. I'm trying to think of maybe a Rams receiver. But yeah, what a performance. 12 catches, 300 yards. Including that fantastic 75-yard tiptoe down the touchline touchdown. That was terrific.
Yeah, he was the best player on any field on Sunday. He was absolutely unstoppable, man. And you know, that's coming off of a one catch effort the week before. You know, you look at him and he's like a horse. He's so big, so strong, so fast. His game is so complete. Just he is the prototypical like outside receiver. He is exactly what you kind of want to mold them after. And man, did he show up big?
He certainly did. It was he wasn't going up against various rookies and other young players in that Carolina backfield defensive backfield. It was wow. It was a man against boys, wasn't it, really? And I'm looking. I've got the list up here for you. Here's a few names for you, Justin. We've got Julio Jones. His performance comes in at number six all time in terms of receiving yards in a game. Now, obviously, we all know Cloyce Box, who got 302 yards for Detroit back in 1950. Please, no mention about my age at this point. Jim Benton got 303 yards for the Rams, the Cleveland Rams, in 1945. Stephon Page, who I do remember, Kansas City Chiefs receiver, 309 yards in 1985. Calvin Johnson, somebody we both know, 329 yards for Detroit against Dallas in 2013. So that's probably the most recent one. And then number one on the list, I was right, it was a Rams player, and it was Flipper Anderson, 336 yards for the Rams against the Saints in November 1989. The closest one in terms of So Calvin Johnson was the most recent player to over 300 yards in the game. Greg will be throwing his radio out the window at this point because Antonio Brown, I don't know, have you ever heard of him, Antonio Brown? I think he plays for the Steelers still. He had 284 yards against the Oakland Raiders in November 2015. And that's probably the one that's the most recent. So, kudos to to Julio Jones, a fantastic performance this week, and he's probably closing out 1,000 yards already.
Yep, and shout out to our buddy Sean on Twitter. He made us promise to bring up Julio. Hopefully we did not let you down.
He certainly did, and he's a huge Julio fan. After, like you say, the one-catch performance the previous week, he was delighted to see 300 yards. Oh, Justin, 300 yards. That's like three games watching the Cleveland Browns, isn't it, really?
yeah, it's there are, you know, quarterbacks who throw for less than that in a game and have good games. And this is one wide receiver who had that many yards.
Yeah, just incredible. It's a great performance, and let's see what he can do this coming week. Justin, there we have it for another week four of the Power Rankings. And let's see, week five, who's going to be number one, who's going to be number 32, and will any team fall out of the top 32?
That's going to do it for tonight's Power Rank Show. Thank you, Neil. Thank you to all of NextFanUp. You can follow us on Twitter at NextFanUp, via email, nextfanup@gmail.com. Send us an email. Also want to thank our sponsor, BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI. Use the promo code FANUP10. Get $10 added to your first deposit. You get a 100% bonus. They've been in the business for 20 years. Get fast, quick, easy, safe payments of winnings. Bet on sports, bet on politics, bet on all sorts of stuff. So thank you, BetDSI. Promo code FANUP10. And with that, let's move over to Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
That was rubbish. I can't even say Atlanta. That's a good start.